Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome in, everybody, to Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host, Cody Westerlin here of 670 The Score, alongside Sean Hyken of Bleacher Report, NBC Sports. As always, subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom. You can find us. Email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow us at LockedOnBulls, at Cody Westerlin, and at Hyken. And we are recording this on a Tuesday evening, the day after July 4th, and the Bulls remain alive in the Dwayne Wade sweepstakes.
I did not see the Dwayne Wade sweepstakes being a thing, Cody.
Barely by a thread do the Bulls remain alive in the Dwayne Wade sweepstakes. The veteran Miami Heat shooting guard is still a free agent. He's 34 years old. And he is not on the best of terms with the Heat as he continues negotiations. He reportedly wants 2 years, $50 million after the Heat offered him 2 years, $40 million. The Heat have salary cap problems, and I don't know if they're going to be able to squeeze him in at 2 years, $50 million. So it's kind of a stalemate here.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, even that 2 years, 40 that they offered him came up from their original offer, which was somewhere around $10 million a year, which, you know, considering all the pay cuts that Dwayne Wade has taken in the past, he took a pay cut in 2010 so that they could sign LeBron and Bosch, and then he took another one in 2014 after LeBron left so that they could re-sign Bosch and keep him from going to Houston, because it seemed like he was going to go to Houston. And so, I mean, this is remarkable. It's really remarkable because Dwayne Wade is just one of those guys. I assumed it was just going to be like Dirk with the Mavericks, and even Dirk just agreed to a 2-year, $40 million deal with the Mavericks today. So seems like he's going to retire in Dallas. I was always assuming that Dwayne Wade was like Kobe or Tim Duncan, and he was going to retire just playing for one team. And I know that last year he was unhappy with the amount of money that the Heat were offering him, but then they got a deal done pretty quickly into free agency for 1 year. So I just never really thought that there would be a serious chance Wade would leave. And some of these teams that he's talking to, like the idea that Dwayne Wade would go to the Denver Nuggets, like that's
kind
of
absurd.
It is. It is absurd. Like Chicago, he's from Chicago. He's born here. He grew up here. I get that one. The New York, you know, it's a big market, and it would definitely piss off Pat Riley, which I think is probably important to him at this point. Milwaukee, it seemed like the Bucks were going to meet with him, and then he canceled that meeting, but he did play at Marquette, so that kind of did make some sense. And then now it seems like Chris Haynes of Cleveland Plain Dealers reporting that the Cavs and the and Dwayne Wade's camp are going to talk soon, which I don't know how that's going to work if what he wants is money, because the only thing that the Cavs have to offer is the taxpayer mid-level exception of about $3 million.
Yeah, or they would have to trade a lot of people and clear space, which they don't want to do because they just want a title. But as it pertains to the Bulls, we should be clear here in all the details. ESPN's Brian Windhorst reported that the Bulls remain in talks with Wade's camp. Perhaps it's just a clear leverage play by Dwayne Wade. The Bulls could really easily being used in this situation. Now, we also should point out the Bulls have $9 to $10 million in cap space right now, and they can clear probably another $17-18 million to bring them to around $27 million if they theoretically move the contracts of Taj Gibson, Mike Dunleavy, and stretched the contract of recently acquired veteran guard Jose Calderon. So from the Bulls' perspective, if you're looking at it, the money is probably there if they really, really, really wanted to do this. Should the Bulls really want to do this? This is a question we got from all of you on Twitter. All of you on email. WindyBoy18 asked us. Frenchie33. Tyler via email. You guys all asked about
Paige Reddott of Bones fame asked us too.
Absolutely. Should the Bulls, how serious is this? And more importantly, should the Bulls be interested, Sean?
I don't see how it fits. I mean, he's kind of redundant with Jimmy Butler, to be honest with you. He's he's ball dominant. He can't shoot from the outside. You were just looking up. He shot
16%.
That's brutal.
From three point range.
He was really good in the playoffs, but you know he had a history of not being able to stay healthy. He was pretty healthy last year, but you know he's 34 years old. You don't know how much that's gonna
affect
it, and you don't know you want to give the reins of the franchise to Jimmy Butler. Bringing in a guy like Dwayne Wade, who was never not, even when LeBron was there, it was still Dwayne Wade's team. You bring him in here, and you think Jimmy Butler is going to be okay with bringing a guy who's 34 years old and be like, okay, now you have to defer to him, or now you're going to have to share the, you know, being the first option on offense with him. They just got past all the stuff with Derrick Rose about those two not being able to play together.
Yeah, there was a lot of alpha dog status kind of almost Cold War tactics with LeBron and Wade. They didn't come out and in the media say anything about it, but that was always a push and pull early in the first couple years in Miami. So you make a great point there about how that would affect Bulls leadership and such. Dwayne Wade did average 19 points per game last year. He still gets to the free throw line pretty well. He's not nearly the athlete he once was. The Bulls said they wanted to get younger and more athletic. Getting Dwayne Wade would certainly not be younger. It'd be okay, I guess, athletically. He still brings some things to the table, but this just seems really far-fetched to me. And I don't even know what the ploy is for the Bulls to still even really be in talks with Dwayne Wade. My expectation is he'll go back to the Heat. And I think if he was to go anywhere other than Miami, it would be to team back up with LeBron James. Just because we always have the banana boat brothership these guys have, and how they've always said they hinted at they would like to finish their careers together, maybe in some aspect. Maybe Dwayne Wade wants to chase one more championship. But, I mean, if he wants the money, he can get 2 years, $40 million in Miami, stay loyal to that franchise, be the guy. He doesn't need to come to Chicago exactly for the money. He's not getting any closer to a championship in a year or two in Chicago. It doesn't add up.
No, it really doesn't, and I think from the Bulls' perspective, it's just like the Rondo move. It just feels like if they were to somehow sign him, if talks were to completely break down with the Heat, and then the Bulls were able to get the money freed up that they would need to get to sign him, it just feels like they're trying to bring in a big name, tread water for a couple of years. It doesn't. He's 34 years old. It doesn't obviously, you know, play into anything resembling their long-term plans. I just don't think it would accomplish anything for them to sign Dwayne Wade. It would sell some tickets, maybe, but that's about it.
Yeah, and Chicago Sports News asked us, why are the Bulls still talking to Wade? I don't even know that they're talking that much to Wade. I would guess and kind of get the sense that it's more of a courtesy call to stay in the picture.
And a lot of this stuff, you know that, you know, there's going to be, like, Dwayne Wade's agent is going to tell reporters, yeah, we want to put as many teams out there as possible.
Especially big market teams.
Big market teams and teams that he has, places that he has ties to, because he is from Chicago. They did go hard after him in 2010 free agency.
Yeah, but Bulls certainly wanted him back then. And at that point in his career, he could have changed the course of Bulls franchise history. He can't really do that. There's no long game there. I think adding Dwayne Wade would also kind of hinder the development of the young guys a little bit. I mean, he would still take minutes. He's going to take touches. And all in the name of what? Like, four extra
staying
wins?
Staying sort of relevant for the next 2 years. But, I mean, that seems like it's the Bulls' MO. We talked about this yesterday. I didn't think the Rondo signing made sense either for many of the same reasons.
Yeah, and I want to transition into Rondo. We touched on him in the last podcast, obviously, just his fit and everything with the Bulls. We got into it a little bit on the court. We got into it more about his kind of mercurial relationship with coaches. He's clashed in the past. I wanted to tie it back to a little bit more on-court basketball this time as far as how he's going to fit. And I do want to point out that we're going to go over some numbers here, some feedback from Synergy, which tracks stats to an insane degree.
Basically, it just breaks down every player's possessions into different play types. It's the same tool that a lot of teams use to watch film and scout on what different players are good at. But it's a really good tool to have to break down all the different, you know, things that players are good and aren't good at.
Yeah, and I want to start this by saying, adding Rondo for the Bulls does make them better at point guard, despite everything we're going to read off, probably.
It makes them better at point guard than just, I mean, I don't think it necessarily makes them better than having Derrick Rose, but it makes them better than having, you know, patching up like a Jose Calderon, Jerian Grant, you know, patchwork of minutes.
Yeah, some stuff here. Rajon Rondo in the pick and roll as the primary ball handler. Average rating. In transition, he was poor. Spot up, average. Isolation, average. Cutting, average. Offensive rebound putbacks, we're really getting to the nitty-gritty here, below average.
Well, honestly, with at this point, you know, because you have to look, there's a column here that says, you know, what percentage of the time his possessions were. So the only ones that are really worth looking at are the three that he did more than 10% of. But 19.8% of his possessions were in transition, and he scored 0.671 points per possession, which ranks in the third percentile around the league.
That's really, really, really bad.
Third percentile.
That means 97 out of other 100 point guards, theoretically, if they're grading 100 there, were better than him in points per possession on converting in transition. And that's a problem for the Bulls. They want to play quick a little bit. Obviously, it wasn't quite the freewheeling and dealing that Hoiberg wanted last year, and there is a belief that a man with a brilliant mind, a brilliant passer, can help an offense like Fred Hoiberg's with the pace and space system. But none of the evidence last year in transition suggested Rondo can convert at a high rate or make the best decisions on a consistent basis. So do you want him to go in transition hard still? Like, how do you use that if you're the Bulls? Because last year it didn't work out with Derrick Rose in transition as much as Fred Hoiberg wanted it. The two were never on the same page. Fred would say, yeah, I want Derrick to push the ball a little more. You go get a quote from Derrick Rose, and he said, I'm pushing the pace better than I ever have in my career. That was me paraphrasing it basically every time this came up. It was some sort of facsimile of that, I would say. So how's he fit into the transition role for the Bulls?
I don't think he really fits at all. I mean, you mentioned earlier that, you know, having a guy who's a brilliant passer is going to help, but, you know, that's about all Rondo has going for him. He's still been, and even going back to his days with the Celtics when he was, you know, an all-star, one of the best point guards in the league, the thing on him would always be he's the kind of point guard who sees the game two or three plays ahead of what's going on. And, you know, by all accounts, he still has that going for him. He did lead the league in assists last year, even though I think a lot of that stuff was kind of stat padding numbers. Yeah. But the only thing he really brings you at this point is passing. He's not a threat to score in any way. He's, you know, he can't really attack the basket. He shot pretty well from three-point last year, but that was kind of an outlier when you look at his career numbers. And it's not like they have so many other offensive threats that he's going to get a lot of open looks.
Yeah, so he's average in the pick-and-roll ball handling, initiating in that. I definitely think if you're the Bulls, you use him in the pick and roll because that does open up some of his passing strength and ability to see the floor. The problem is that can't like be a primary function. You know, like you look at the Spurs, there's times the Spurs run Tony Parker through like 60 pick and rolls in a game because he was so good at it and it opened up other versions of their offense, different sets out of that. I don't think you can do that with Rondo, even if you are kind of lacking elsewhere on the floor. But the Bulls do have Jimmy Butler, who took on a bigger role last year in that regard, just facilitating out of the pick and roll. Did it a lot with Pau Gasol late in the year. Jimmy got like really into his assist totals for a while, it kind of felt like.
And that's part of the dynamic that I really don't know how it's going to work out, is because Jimmy can be a ball handler. He's pretty good at that, but like what and at facilitating, but that's the only thing that Rondo really can do. So if you have both of them out on the court at the same time and you're making Rondo play off the ball, he's not a threat at all.
Yeah, and he used to be a good athlete, and I mean he still has some athleticism. He's not a high flyer at the rim by any means or finishing over people, but I mean he can still be a cutter and such. And I think if you get him on the move a little bit, get him somewhere where he's comfortable, that's probably the Bulls' best chance to be efficient with him and find other people. But like he's like a, not world-renowned, but in the sporting world, he's renowned for his Connect Four ability. The, basically like, children's game almost. I shouldn't say children's game, but the board game where you sit there and put checkers in and try to get four colors in a row before your opponent does. Like, he was awesome at that. That's in an ESPN profile. Like, he sees things.
He is the greatest. He is one of the greatest Connect Four players in NBA history. I think it's safe to say.
I think that should be a story.
If the Bulls signed him to play for their Connect Four team, then I think they're going to dominate.
That would be something else. But that's just, I guess, the way you want to use him. I don't know, too, how the other Bulls players are going to react to him and fit in. If they can see what he sees, that's got some potential. But it takes time, and he's on a two-year deal. It seems like it's more of a one-year make-good deal with kind of an opt-out or partial guarantee the next year. So, like, again, I don't know what the long game here is exactly, because by the time you figure it out, it might be two-thirds, three-quarters of the way through the season, and you got a few extra wins, but you're not completely grasping that potential of what he might be able to do.
No, I just, you know, from the long-term standpoint, you know, he might make you better in the short-term, but from a long-term standpoint, I just don't see the fit being there.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll get some answers from that next time we get to talk to Gar Forman and Rondo, whenever that is, and see how they envision him. But just from our perspective, they need him to be a lot better in transition. Maybe that's a bit of an outlier, too, because the Bulls do need to get some transition points, no doubt, and just hope that he's better at that. And, you know, if you are a good passer and can kind of get on the same page as a decision maker, you should be able to be okay in transition still and pitch in there. But moving on to a Twitter question from Daniel Ruswick. What can we expect from the Bulls in summer league?
Well, we know some details, and we've mentioned this a couple of times. I'm going to be in Vegas for the first 5 days or so of summer league, so I will be out there. I will be watching these guys firsthand.
Hot scouting reports.
Oh,
hot
we're
off the presses. The names we don't even know yet. Sean will come with heat on how they are as basketball players.
Oh, it's gonna be great. Now, as far as what we do know, my understanding is that sometime in the next couple of days they're going to announce the summer league roster officially. A lot of the other teams have announced them. So far, the Bulls haven't yet. But we do know, and some of this I got from Fred Hoiberg directly at the Denzel Valentine press conference.
Yeah.
Fred is not going to be coaching the team this year. Last year, he did coach the summer league team, and that made sense because it was his first time being an NBA coach in any way. So, you know, it was kind of his, you know.
You can get adjusted to when to call timeouts.
Right.
It was just some of the inbound spots are different, rules different between the college game
right,
and NBA
right,
game.
Right. So that was kind of his introductory period. He is not going to be coaching the team this year. Pete Myers, one of their assistant coaches, is going to be coaching the summer league squad. Five players who are on the Bulls at this moment on their actual roster are going to be there. Spencer Dinwiddie and Jerian Grant, their two guards. And then Denzel Valentine, obviously their first round pick. Bobby Portis and Cristiano Felicio. Paul Zipser, their second round pick, is not going to be at summer league because he is playing for the German national team, but they do expect him at training camp. And then Doug McDermott is not going to be playing for summer league for the summer league team, but he is going to be practicing with the team out in Vegas. And I would imagine Jimmy Butler is going to be around too, because he's going to be on the Olympic team and their training camp is the following week in Vegas. So I would imagine they're probably going to make an effort to have him be out there and just around the young guys.
The answer, Daniel, to your question is, what can we expect? Championship from the Bulls with those five.
Their starting five is all guys who are on their actual roster. I don't see how anybody else is going to compete with that.
Most teams have two, three guys, right? And the Bulls should have, with Grant, Valentine, Portis, and Felicio, four guys who could be in the rotation. Probably three at least, and maybe four in the regular rotation. Like, is there anything we should learn from Vegas? Anything we should look for heading into it with any of these guys that stands out? Are you interested in Denzel Valentine's court vision? Are you interested in what Jerian Grant can bring to the Bulls?
Well, I think those are the two guys that I'm the most interested in watching. Because, I mean, Bobby Portis, like, I think he's going to be better in his second year in the league. But he looked pretty good in summer league last year, and that didn't really translate. So, I mean, it's the kind of thing you really have to be careful about reading too much into what these guys do in summer league and look more into just, are they making the right plays? Are they, you know, for the bigs like Felicio and Portis, are they boxing guys out for rebounds? For the guards, you know, are they making the right passes?
Yeah.
Are they finding guys in good spots? The shots that they're taking, even if they miss them, are they good shots?
Yeah, because was it two summers ago when Doug McDermott just lit it up from three-point
yeah.
range there too? But like you mentioned, like the decision-making for a guy like Valentine and Jerian Grant, I think will be interesting just to see how they fit in together, because they could play some minutes together. Chris Felicio, see how he's developed over the summer, because he's been in Chicago much of the summer, I believe the Bulls said, and he showed flashes at the end of last year at the big game against the Cavs on a Saturday night primetime game to keep the Bulls' playoff hopes alive for, I think, 24 more hours
yeah.
or something. But, I mean, he flashed a nice left hand in that game, finishing at the hoop. He was like 7-for-7 or 8-for-8 or something. So I'll be interested in just to see his offensive ability if he's a little bit more confident with the ball. The Bulls play the Celtics on Saturday in Vegas.
That's going to be an interesting summer league team. Just because, I mean, the Celtics have so many guys. They've got, Jaylen Brown, the number 3 pick overall. Gershon Yubasele, I've been hearing good things about him in Utah summer league.
This is already getting intense. This names is the that I can't pronounce.
This
remember.
Is the Celtics revenge series for the revenge game for the Bulls not trading their Jimmy Butler on draft night.
The very true. Maybe we're going to have some tension in that game. Then the Bulls have the 76ers on Sunday. And
get a look at Ben Simmons.
Yeah, that will be fun for you.
Yeah.
Interesting that Brett Brown said he could like play point guard at times.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, he's not a point forward. Like, I like his point guard skills. Did you see any of that?
I haven't seen much of that. I will say my favorite summer league memory in terms of looking at these prospects, 2014, the first game of the first day of summer league was the Cavs versus the Bucks. And so everybody was talking about, this is going to be exciting. This is Wiggins versus Parker, where it's going to be great. And then that morning at like 10 a.m. West Coast time, the LeBron Lee Jenkins letter drops announcing that he's going back to Cleveland. And then all of a sudden that night at the summer league game, everybody's like talking to Andrew Wiggins, and instead of it being about, hey, so how was your first game against NBA competition? It was, hey, have you heard the rumors you might be traded for Kevin Love now?
How did he handle that night?
He handled it great. I think the other big thing from the summer from that game was Anthony Bennett looked really good, and he looked like he lost some weight, and the thought was, oh, he's going to be, you know, he's going to have a much better sophomore season. So, you know, pour one out for Anthony Bennett's NBA career.
Yeah, there you go. So moral of the story, don't put too much stock into summer league, but Sean will give you the proper feedback when he is there to get your hopes up just enough or dim your hopes just enough. Whatever the case is, we'll see. The Bulls wrap up the pool play portion of summer league Tuesday against the Spurs, who I believe are the defending champions, if I remember right.
They are the defending summer league champions.
So,
and
big game.
The banner is hanging at the Thomas and Mack Center. There's going to be a lot of pressure. They actually do have a banner hanging for
that's
the summer
really
league.
That's really
funny. Yeah, it is. I mean, are the Bulls going to have that? And if the Bulls do, are they going to also hang one up at the Advocate Center and the United Center to celebrate the summer league championship?
No, you know, I've already talked about the Hall of Fame thing. I'm all about just hang championship banners. And obviously, that's a joke with the summer league. I'm not into hanging division banners, Eastern Conference champ banners. I'm not into any of that. Win a title. Hang a banner. That's it.
I'm with you.
But
summer league championship banner is not insignificant. It's certainly something that they can talk about in terms of, like, this is our success, you know, as a pitch to free agents.
There you go. So the Bulls will play three pool play games, then they move on to the single elimination portion. I believe after that we'll have plenty from Vegas when Sean's there. As always, you can email us with basketball questions. Any interested in advertising with us, hit us up at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter at LockedOnBulls, at Hyken, at Cody Westerlund. And most of all, as always, tell your friends about our podcast. Subscribe on iTunes. Find us on Stitcher, Audioboom, whatever platform interface you want. We greatly appreciate it. We'll be back sometime soon as we can. We'll keep you updated on Twitter. But until then, take care. And as always, it'll be a fun summer league.